welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Artie White. I'm Artie White. Join me now, won't you, as we sit down together at the table of friendship. There's as many chairs here as there are many people who need to be here. So there's not an infinite amount, but there's lots. Hypothetically, there's an infinite amount of chairs. Is this the table you described, Butchie? Yeah, we can all sit around this and it will create a time bubble, a separate universe that only contains this table and those seated at it.
Did you build it from scratch or make it from a kit?
I made it from a kit, so what?
It's still an undertaking. I just mean I had a friend who made the time machine chassis part two and a timetable like this, but his was bigger and with clear resin and stuff in it.
I don't mean to interrupt, Lou, but could you shut up?
I will.
So the event at this table will be outside of time. Yes, an island in time. The timeless meal. The timeless meal.
Shut
up! Tomorrow's peradventure weather, partly cloudy skies, chance of precipitation 30%, lows in the high 80s.
It is our job to make the world better for creatures and their surroundings. Blessed means happy. And some who are sick or oppressed are not happy. Perhaps they will have a reward later, but how do I know that? So I actively try to ensure that they are happy now if I can.
Bless the poor, because they ain't happy.
Remind yourselves and others that the poor need help. Bless the meek, because they ain't happy. Actively defend them from bullies right now. Bless those who are victims of injustice, because they ain't happy. We need justice now, not some promise of post-death space justice. Bless the merciful, because they ain't happy. Sometimes you gotta give things up to do what's right, so help those people who forego revenge. Bless the innocent souls, because they ain't always happy, because they have their world shattered by fear and loss, and they are sweet and often children. And so they need guidance, because the bad stuff in the world messes with your head.
So, Don, did you always want to be a real estate agent, like, since you were a kid?
No. I just fell into it. I think in another life, I would have been a poet.
If that were a thing. It's good they have real estate when poetry doesn't work out.
I worked at poetry for a long time. Do you want to hear some?
Now, you know I don't. But go ahead, because I love you.
Location, location, and wherever you happen to be. Liberated, like those with flight, but only free in its meaning of worthless. And free, as in freely scattered seeds on sand. That's where this move began, where we land, where we drop. From soulless wherever to whatever this neighborhood is where we live now. We arrived at this place like leaves, didn't we? We have nothing with which we can attach ourselves to the dirt, the wind that brings moving vans and for sale signs will toss us into the blind alley and up, up, and onto the market. Relocation, relocation.
Don't give up your day job is all I'm going to say.
I was fired from my day job.
Well, don't give up the thing you abandon your dreams for. There's so many ways to avoid your heart's true calling.
Do you remember the gym at the mall where we met in the 80s?
You mean Just Arms?
Just Arms. Yeah, you were at the curl machine next to mine. And you said to me, you're doing preacher curls. What, are you a preacher? And I said, of a sort, but I wasn't. Then you said, is it okay if I mind my own business and work out in peace? And I thought, what a jerk. I'm going to replace something he thinks is a salve or a bomb with something astringent or caustic.
What's your point, Butch? I realize that none of that happened. But it's a great example of how we can remember non-existent stuff together because of this magical table.
It never ceases to both amaze me and make me uncomfortable.
It's like a Ouija board. Who's moving the conversation, you or me?
I worked at the tobacco shop next to Just Arms.
Oh, yeah. Humidor Vador. Generations of tobacconists.
I thought it was called Matchbox and Sons.
It was that later.
Okay, so who did that, you or me?
The mall is real from a time machine trip.
I feel like maybe I did that one.
I think no one does it alone. It's an instantaneous reaction. I linked everyone's prefrontal cortex. We are improvising synchronously.
That's amazing. Is Don reciting a poem?
Do you have your Daugherian worship kit?
I do, thanks. It's a whole full child's backpack this year.
The service will include more than one coloring project and a kazoo chorus thing, and the cape takes up a lot of space.
I'm glad I can wear the cape even though I'm not Daugherian.
It's the one time of year you can.
Wrist things.
Aren't they cool looking?
I look like a Hungar master or Robin Hood.
Wrist gauntlets are a symbol of the strength of our joints, meaning our connections. Our wrists are firm, our connections firm. Our friendships in a good state of repair. That's why there's so much tape in the kit as well.
Strong when linked. We are duct taped together as souls.
By choice, we are linked or separated, but strong when linked. Shemp jive.
Shemp jive.
There is a place that I go, isolated from the group, away from the eyes of the crowd, of my friends and family. I am alone here ultimately. By choice, I hide myself. I love the group and I love the meal. But there is a time and a feeling that I must give into in the most solitary way.
And now the feeling is gone. But I haven't finished peeling this wallpaper off from around the teepee holder, so I will sit here a little longer. Also, I need a break from talking.
Bosun, I love this side dish, but it needs something. Could you pass the...
What, Captain?
Oh, I forgot the name of it. I could just say salt, because that's what's in it, and that's what I need, but the holder has a name.
This, Captain?
What is the salt holder called?
The cellar.
Oh, this is gonna drive me mad.
I'm sure it will, sir.
It's not box. Salt box? I mean, it means the same thing. Oh, does anyone have their cell phone?
Not at a timetable, Captain.
Oh, right. Oh, this memory of mine. When you're trying so hard and the word you want is just beyond your grasp.
A frustrating feeling, Captain. Salt cellar, salt cellar.
Oh, it'll come to me in a minute. When you're not trying to think of a thing, that's when it comes to you.
Excuse me, sir. Butchie.
Yes, bosun?
Hey, aren't we all supposed to be on the same brain wavelength or something at the table?
Yes, ideally.
Well, the captain can't literally think of a thing. I'm literally yelling out loud.
Ah, he has a mental block, which is creating a perception cloak. He has decided he doesn't know something, so he has become incapable of learning or remembering it or whatever.
That's right.
Try asking him a question about himself.
Captain, I believe you are from medieval Germany. Do you happen to know...
Cellar, I knew it would come to me. This is a salt cellar. What a crazy word, like the salt lives in a tiny dungeon.
Crazy word.
Salt cellar, cells... Salt cellar and salt cellar.
Why isn't a store called a cellary?
Right you are, bosun.
Hey, Mike.
Butchie, how's tricks?
Tricks are for kids, Mike. Listen, I'm thinking of getting a timetable for the festive meal.
All right. How many you expect?
Well, me and Lou and Hardy, four, six,
6. At least 4. Most 12, maybe.
You should go for a 2 timetable. Easier to get the neural links.
Okay. So, you do the time chassis.
I provide the miniature time machine and panels and instructions for the table.
I could put that together.
Oh, sure. It's not hard, but a little complicated and rewards patience and detail.
Oh, crap. Well, I'll make it work.
So, this is a dinner party neural pairing. Oh, are we there now? Did I get the job done and now I'm at the dinner?
Yeah. And you used to build houses with real souls.
I remember. Great dinner, Butchie.
I made the table and the nourishment. I feel pretty good about myself.
This is Lou's grandmother. I am inside the dinner table. You might not hear my voice at this moment because I speak to you from a vague and subtle place. Over your heads I fly and between your ears. I knock the boxes playfully from your arms and rock the house with thunder when there is no storm. My blessing is this big hand, now grown big like a tent, and laid over the whole meal and party like a blanket in the sky, and any rain will run off to its mother in the ocean. We eat a dry meal of light and dark and sadness and happiness here under the infinite sky. Don't stop filling your glass, they will think we're done. Eat your fill of the experience of human life offered up as memories and meals for memories. Every food is a symbol and every symbol a food. Bite into the meaning of your bonds and friendships. Check those joints, as the Dogarians say. Peace among the whole wide family, Lewis Register grandson I made from a sock.
Did anyone else just hear the ghost of my grandmother?
Holidays can be powerfully emotional times. And yes, she was leaving a message on the inside of the table.
I thought I heard her.
You can listen to it later.
Oh, good. She's good about holidays.
You know whose work I enjoy, but I can never remember the name is...
I'm glad you're not on nominating committees.
You'd be a good entertainment journalist.
Oh, what is the name?
I want to take a picture of my friend's butt after we eat.
What did you say?
I said I want to take a picture of my friend's butt after we eat. Is that weird?
Yes.
It's weird to not want any food on the table blocking the view.
Yeah, I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
What? I want to take a picture of Hans's butt. He sat in some paint. It looks like a cat.
Oh. Okay. I guess that can wait until after we eat.
The first festive meal. When was it? Where was it? When was it? People have gathered around tables and or sat opposite one another at meals since the beginning of those meals. But when was that? The fierce storms of the ancient ages when people came together around fires or for warmth. In times of needing food or shelter, a great diversity of factors came into play. The magnificence of ships and cliffs or the near water. Words and ideas from across the seas. Since the gathering of individuals required strength and group effort, the table was introduced, and out across this land and others, many like it were born from raw materials in record numbers. Do you have a table?
Oh, that's a good one, you guys. It's been great being your substitute teacher.
Uncle Hardy!
Hey, nephew. We have 40
more minutes left.
Wow, those film strips used to be longer, I think.
Show a movie!
Show Sunset Boulevard.
Show the Dead Monkey one.
I showed Sunset Boulevard last time. I'm not showing the same thing. Let me think of a different movie.
Do you mind if I sit here?
No, not at all.
You don't look sad.
I'm not, thanks.
Yeah, you are.
Listen.
I'm sorry. I'm from the future. We're friends in the future.
That's a terrible line. And also, I bet anything it's not true.
Line? No, you're Belinda Bettina Blurb. And you're traveling to Doomsburg to be the producer of the Mozahowitz program.
And who are you, wise ass?
I'm Mozahowitz.
Mo? Seriously?
I have ID, and also a familiar voice.
Well, we've never really met.
But you were supposed to have listened to my tapes, Miss Blurb.
I've been busy.
Anyway, it's not just that I happen to be on this train, but I really am from the future.
Mine, anyway.
I mean, my friend has a time machine, or rather, it shifts possible worlds. Anyway, I mess up your life by you coming to work for my show, and so I'm telling you not to get off at your stop and to just keep going.
What happens to me then?
I think the train crashes.
Mo, geez.
I don't know, but it has to be better than watching Oliver Onions turn into a fish.
Oliver Onions? From Bowling Challenge Theater?
He left the late-night movie host gig to come write and direct my show. You produce it. We are a big, happy family. Then he gets turned into a fish, which, granted, he doesn't seem to mind. But I think you could do better. I think you're one of those nurturing people who's afraid to ditch us bad news types who keep you down. Anyway, I'm hopping back on this time machine, so you think about what I said.
Is that how you see our relationship, Butchie?
It is, sorta. I think you're such a smart, cool person, and I convinced you to do a show in a different universe, and you were up for it. Now your life is crazy.
I love it.
Do you?
Not like 100%. But who knows, compared to what, right? I dig you guys, though. Oliver's a hell of a fish.
He really is.
Hey, Hardy.
Hey, Lou.
Where do you figure we are?
Seems like we're up in a skybox, or a balloon, maybe, above a parade.
Sure does look like a parade. Is it a particular holiday?
I don't know. The giant balloons are very old, like Winsor McCay's Flip and the Yellow Boy.
It does have like a turn of the century feel.
But with a modern orchestra.
Ah, an anachronism, probably not real.
A different kind of real.
A real parade is thrilling.
This is thrilling too. Look, it's got a million things going on. Lots of colors, lots of lights, doing different... Look at that. And the noises.
I could do without some of those. I like the unison performances, though. Like everyone throwing something into the air at once.
You and I just sitting at the table like this. We get a unique perspective on parades.
Best of both worlds. All the excitement of public spectacle with none of the energy expenditure. And I can eat and relax and still feel awe. I feel awe.
Oh, I feel all too. It's a wonderful sound we can get when a lot of us do something together.
Like scream or play music.
Or dream.
An ocean in a castle is a fine way of describing our time together in each other's minds and in the kinds of celebrations with spontaneous joys and being together. Reminds us what noise the human heart makes when it talks at a table with offerings of food, or maybe just candles, or just napkins, or just nothing at all but pretend wine, or imaginary tea made strong and dispensed with the intent of tough, loyal, strong, nurturing love. Before we begin eating, some of you have already started eating, some of you are finished eating, some of you do not intend to eat. Before, during, or in the midst of, or after all of that, I would like to say some words. And a lot of you have been saying, please, Hardy, would you like to say some words in and around this meal that we're having together, this either real or imaginary meal? And I would like that, because there's a lot to this meal. Some of it is eating, some of it is listening. And we can listen to one another, which is the most important thing to do. But how are we going to do that with our mouths full? Well, have someone speak for us. Say, Hardy, you do the speaking, and we will eat and nod. Or maybe we'll eat nothing at all. What do you mean, eat nothing at all? What kind of meal is that? Let me tell you all about that. The best kind of all, maybe. When we play with little children, what kind of games do they want to play? War. Not really little ones, do they? No. Well, what kind of games? Tea party? Tea party. Yes, a lot of times children will want to have some sort of imaginary meal. And they'll say, sit down here. All right. And you are a lady from the neighborhood. And I say, yes, indeed I am. And then they say, would you like some tea? And I say, I would. I don't. I can't stay. Because I have a meeting. I belong to some sort of book. It's not a book club, really. It's some sort of subversive group. I'm not at liberty to tell you what I'm doing. But okay, I'll stay for a cup of your marvelous tea. I'm smelling it now. What is it? It is lemon drop from the clouds. All right, that's wonderful. That's my favorite kind of tea. The children don't have access to the store. The children do not have access to the fancy tea shop in the mall. And even it might even have a sign that says, no very small children with imaginary money. And that's all that they have. They have no resources. They can't feed you a proper cake, but they want to host a meal. Because hosting a meal or dining with somebody in this symbolic way, in this social way, in this ritualistic way, they understand that, how important it is, and they want to get started immediately doing that. The child will say, I would like to get the one of the, what do you want to learn? One of the first things I want to learn about is like hosting a dinner seems ambitious. What should I shoot for brunch or something? I don't even know. Well, let's try a tea party. All right. And then we let the child practice without having to worry about, now, where am I going to get the funds to get the tea? What kind of tea am I going to serve? Now, caffeinated or not, not everybody likes it. Do I do a specific tea ritual? Do I do like a gung fu tea ritual? I mean, it might be, you might be able to do that. Like, I don't know what kind of access you have to different teapots and teas. But for the child, not so much. And they can't get good lady fingers because they're babies. But they can sit around something, a little plastic table, the kind that we buy children. Depresses me, the quality of pretend furniture that we give to children. It's like, oh my gosh, just literally give them cardboard and let their imagination have better taste. That's better than getting some garish plastic thing that looks frightening to me. So, oh yes, I guess we're having tea in this futuristic nightmare world. All right. If you had just gotten me a paper box, I could have pretended it was all sorts of things. The child has an imagination that's closer akin to avant-garde furniture making. And children are natural artists.
No, but they don't know. They don't know they're not. So they're inventive, and they're imaginative, and they're delusional. They let themselves, they delude themselves, which is wonderful. The older you get, the less charming that is. But for the child, it's great. Say, what is this? I can't tell what this is even. Go, oh, it's a bear. All right, you're deluded. And they are in a wonderful way. I don't think the child thinks that looks exactly like a bear. They tried. I made a large thing where I know a nose should be. Well, this dinner party is like that, my friends. I am sitting here at an imaginary table. And I'm thinking, what would people who came by my house need on a night like tonight? They might need something to fill their bellies. We do as human beings. And they might need something else. They might need some company. And that's what we call filling your soul. It's no more complicated than that, than being with some other human being, so you're not alone. Oh, we are at the imaginary table. What did you do? I rented a room in an old hotel in the city. Tell me what you did. Hard to tell more what you did. What have you gotten us into? I rented an old room in the city, and I thought I'd have the magic table in there. And we went in there, and now we're trapped in time, and we're at a dinner party that won't end. But it's a good one. So I don't know if I've done a bad thing or whether we've kind of lucked into something. I said lunch, not launch. We're stuck together in a wonderful way. I think we're at some sort of, imaginary child's tea party feast floating in space together. I really do believe that. I mean, put your ear up. Listen. Can you hear my voice? Obviously, I'm speaking to you on the other side of some sort of radio, two-way radio. What? What? Your mic is messed up. Don't talk for a minute. And we are floating in space. And to survive the long journey, we've been given a sort of a hallucination helmet and everything where we can imagine we're somewhere else. And we were at the dinner party program has broken down. And we're supposed to sink in there. And now it's gotten surreal and strange and dreamlike and fragmented. What's happening? Oh, are we in danger from the program? That is, are you over there? I'll tap on the wall three times, and you tap back three times, and so I'll think it's my echo, and I'll know that I am truly alone. No, my friends, you are listening to the radio, which has been a friend of the lonely at times that are supposed to be group times, supposed to be with, I'm supposed to be with family or all that kind of thing. Oh, what's the supposed to? What kind of pressure is that? Not everybody has somewhere to be, or family, or even wants to be, or can, or would, or should, or sometimes we are, by choice, or by not our choice, alone. But that doesn't mean that we don't want to connect in some way to others, to be at a table, to be having some sort of symbolic feast, where we acknowledge that we do need one another, and that it's a complicated thing, and that it is, of course, not always smooth or joyful or predictable. Sometimes it is a strange series of partnered hallucinations, isn't it? Who are these other people that I'm having this dinner with? Being alive is like that, being at a table on a cruise. I don't care for cruises, so when I say something like cruise, in my mythology, that is a symbol for limbo or some sort of scary place run by the devil. And then you have to go to dinner and you go to the dining room and you find that you don't get a whole table by yourself. You've got to share it, which I know that's fine in some circumstances. But in this demonic sense at sea where Satan is the captain, I don't know, it doesn't have to be Satan. It could be any demon. I'm not on any team. It's just general demonic spirit pairing you at a table, you think, with others. That's the human experience. And it would be lovely if they were all somebody gentle or wonderful. But sometimes the people at the table are horrible. You say, are they monsters? They are a certain type of monster, the monster called man. And there you sit together on this rocking ship, this temporary vessel, riding upon a temporary sea, and beneath it, the dark void that is you're suspended by a tiny meniscus there on the surface of the water. And beneath it, the abyss, the dark netherworlds of Netherville is one of them down there. And, it's terrible. And there we ride together in this temporary thing. And it is like being at a dinner party like that. Come on over to my table. What I did is I took the place cards, and I know that we like one another. So I switched up the place cards, and you're sitting. It looks like you're sitting with us. Looks like you're sitting over here is where your name is. And then I put, I don't know who was here, Pat and Debbie Boone or whatever, put them over there. And that's their name. It's not the same people. It's those, unfortunately, when you have the same name as somebody else, and that happens a lot. Oh, it's Ike and Tina Turner. Not them. It's somebody different. Doctor's Ike and Tina Turner. And they're a couple, they both teach in the biology department. It's weird. But people can have the same names. That's not weird at all. And that's happened at dinner parties. You go, who are you? Were you invited to my dinner party? We're homonyms. We sound just the same as the people that you invited, so we're allowed to be here too. What fun! The doppelnamers kind of party. I got a Hardy White. I didn't get the Hardy White that I thought I would get. You never do. And you wouldn't if you met me. You'd say, well, that's not the Hardy White that I intended. It's the one from the dinner party. Or is it? Are they different ones? The dinner party is magical. We are suspended in time. In space even, too, but I won't get into that. Well, that's an obvious one. We are also suspended in time. We are outside of it. We do not consider ourselves part of the calendar. This is an event which transcends the calendar. It transcends it. It's above it. It's floating above it like a dirigible with a little cottage attached, like a cabin hanging from this old-timey balloon. And in it, us. And we hide up here, stepping outside of time because, oh, the pressure. And we gather together because we found one another. Oh, and that's the best way to do it, is finding one another like that. The expectations once, oh, I was planning on going so-and-so for a dinner and everything. Well, we have found one another. And now we're friends. And now we're developing a bond of family. Which means what? It's like, oh, I feel ambivalent about you as like I do about my own kin. Well, welcome to the human experience. Because we are all wonderfully related. And we all do identify with usually distant cousins. Or distant cousins. That's just how it works. Intimacy breeds resentment and anger. Murders rage. Familiarity does. The more you see something, you go, oh, the closer you get to it. High res means you can see the water bears in the pores, screaming. What are you doing? Get out of here. You're invading. It's like, to us, the water bears say, this is like intrusive, like one of those water bears are slow talkers. They can't always find the word they want. A drone is the one they wanted. You know, like if a drone was filming you, that's how they feel. And all of a sudden, your picture's all over the... It's just some water net on a water belly on the internet. Water belly. I'm going to try that again. Water bear on his belly on the internet. I think I may have just invented the refreshing water jelly. That would be nice. They're big. You know how a lot of the fruit candies are sort of cloying and sort of sweet? You know, ugh. Wouldn't it be nice to have just a water jelly, a belly jelly water baby? It's just, it's just refreshing water, but in gelatin form. And I think they could do that. It's somewhere, and it's ice cold water jellies. Look for them. I'm going to have them. I have my name on them. They'll be clear, but my little face, you go, I can't see it. Is that you? Yeah. I can't quite see it, but it does look like your face. Yep, that's me with the beard. Pop it in your mouth. Is it Zima? Nope. Look, it's a water jelly, though, and it's delicious. And you want one now. You crave one. This is how speaking... We can describe certain things. I'm not going to get, other than cool, refreshing water, I will not conjure up any other taste or flavor like that. I would not do that. Because I don't know. I'm not a big one on that. People like to do that, and I feel it's a little bit sickening. Because I'm somebody who's, your head is a theater. And there's certain things people can say or anything, and you fill in the blanks. And if it's a smell or a taste... You can do it. So I'll try to use a benign one. Applesauce. Let's start talking about applesauce. No cinnamon, just applesauce, ground up apples. Like maybe like baby food. Applesauce baby food. Just pureed apples. That's just it. Just pureed apples. That's the first course right now we're going to do. I don't care for it. Skip it. It's okay. But I just thought we'd start with foods that we ate as little babies. Or maybe the second, things that we ate as children. Applesauce, Barbie shoes, rocks. I don't know. I don't know where you grew up or what kind of food. But a lot of it was just really little gentle food, little puddings and everything. Let's start with a pudding can be too sweet. What else is something we want? Something that... Are you teething yet? No, that's the third course. You're getting ahead of yourself. Go back to some gentle custard. It sounds a lot like General Custard, I'm saying. Gentle Custard. And he was much nicer than General Custard. If I had a cartoon or something, I would change the character completely. He'd have a little uniform. His name would be Gentle Custard. So, I don't know. I just want to make custard for the kids. Like that. He wouldn't shoot anybody or anything. The reason I'm hosting the meal this year, and it's like the way the children want to pretend, or you have a Seder where you say, well, there's like an imaginary meal before the meal where you eat foods that I thought were garnishes, and say, well, a whole plate of garnishes can be a symbolic meal order, and we do things in order. We tell a story, and then we use things as symbols, and it's also the excuse. People say this all the time. It's an excuse to get together. They say that about a lot of things. Say, oh, the only reason we're having like an execution or anything is an excuse to get together. But they will. It is just about the people who are there. We're having an excuse to get there. The surgery is just an excuse to all get together. But it is. At least parties are. They're an excuse. What kind of excuse is it? Well, holidays can be that excuse. So I didn't even know we observed this holiday. Well, it's just an excuse to be together. And, you know, I like when it's a little, there's not coercion. And I mean, sometimes you don't want to be with family or anything, but like you're invited by a well-meaning person to go to their house. And they're lovely. And there's no reason you shouldn't want to go. And they're lovely, 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 lovely people. But it's a whole night, though, of eating. But they're lovely. There's no reason not to go, and it's a blessing. So you go, but you're just slightly thinking, I don't know whether I should go or not. I think that's such a beautiful, blessed feeling. And the reason I think it is because life is a little more complicated than I realized when I was younger. I realize now that this trying to make connections with people or trying to find a way to live with one another and sit down at a table with one another is very difficult. And you can't always be yourself, necessarily. that is a strange theater. It is a strange performance that we go to where we become characters in the story at this meal slash drama. And you play the part of a guest sitting there before his plate. And we say certain things. I'd like to stand up and give thanks, and we all give thanks. I give thanks all the time. Why this special day? And we explain why we feel this special connection today, and we look to the stars, we hold each other's hands, and then we feast and we sate our desires together. And so, and then after they're done, now that I've got you here, more praying. But then that's the other kind of praying. Pray upon your vulnerability now. And promise that you'll be friends with me the rest of the year. Yes, I promise. I gave you a meal. I just like being... I feel like maybe the purpose of these meals sometimes is one person anyway. Meet an individual or have a specific conversation. And, you know, understand how different everybody is. See yourself with the eyes of others. Sometimes we'll do that symbolically by having certain things on the plate that look like eyes. But what is that? St. Lucy or something? No, they're eyeballs. They're not real eyeballs because there's some people here who don't eat eye. But we'll make them out of, sometimes we'll make them out of fruit. And, but they symbolize something. I'm watching you. I'm watching myself. I'm watching myself with you. I'm watching what I do with you. I am concerning myself with consequences. I am looking across a table as if I were looking at myself. I am examining myself in a mirror. I am taking care of my desires here with you. I am sharing with you, but at the same time, I am making sure that I am sharing in a gracious and good way, in a way that is peaceful and harmonious, that we can sit at this table together without upending it, without throwing things across it. And that is why we are gathered here around it today, to have our little time together and to acknowledge one another and our loneliness. Oh, I know this shouldn't be the only time that we do get together. I'll tell you, there's no reason, my friend, to not be lonely. Of course, being lonely, I think, should be seen as more reasonable thing than it is. So, you should never be lonely. Why? Why shouldn't you ever be lonely? Seems like a lonely life. It seems like a life characterized mainly by loneliness. How can we not be lonely? We are alone coming in. We are alone in our heads. We are alone in our suffering. We are alone in our responsibility. Ultimately, there are places that we have to go where no one can accompany us. Oh, it's a sad thing, and it's a lonely life. And so let's acknowledge it as being the baseline for what life is and not an anomaly. The lack of loneliness, what we can bring to each other, a help, an uplifting, a hand, some love, an acknowledgement that we can bring to each other, some food that we share either literally or symbolically with one another. And that is meant to stave off this constant thunder, the loneliness that's always marching towards us, always there. And we can put up our defenses. Come on, I'm going to box you like a old, like the Notre Dame symbol or something. The back of my hands. Come on. I'm doing the old-timey boxer stance. And I will help you fight it off. You help me fight it off. Fight it off together. It is fought off by definition together. That's how we do it. That is how we do it. Oh, I love it. And, We're not quite there yet, don't get me wrong. But cleaning up, that's not the best part. Oh, everything looked so good. It's not like I wouldn't have eaten the casserole had I thought about the fact that I would have to clean it up. Maybe I would have thought twice. Let's just put it that way. But, I mean, what's the thing? It already had stuff in it. I might as well. If you had an uneaten casserole and you'd say, clean that up, you might as well eat it, most of it, and then clean up the crust, because you'd still have to throw it out and then still clean the crust off. So clean it out by downing it. Strange relationship we have to food, too. We need it. When we come into this world, we need it in, sort of, first of all, in a kind of a liquidy way, and then getting more solid, and then getting almost crunchy, and then getting, like, out of control crunchy, and then getting, you know, progressively more puddingy, liquidy again, maybe. Who knows? You can crunch your way right to death's door if you're lucky. But then, you know, there are times we can't eat certain things. And so food, oh, what a strange thing it is. Sometimes one person's food is another person's person. Or you are someone's food. You've probably not been that too often. There might be something that's nibbling on you constantly. But not, maybe, and maybe something took a good hefty bite out of you. Some people have had something of themselves eaten by another creature and not returned necessarily. If you have all of yourself eaten, I think that's about it. I don't know that there's too much they can, even nowadays, that they can do for you if you're swallowed whole by like a hippopotamus or something. I don't know if that'd be a terrible way to go or not. I think yes. In my nightmares, when I'm eaten by large alligators in dark swamps, the answer is yes, it is a horrible way to go. It feels bad. But I don't know if something ate. When you say the mosquitoes are eating me up. All right, well, they're sucking the blood out of you. I guess that's eating. That's eating, right? That's it. That's eating. Eating your blood. Are vampires eating you or drinking you? I know. You could go on forever just talking about that. And I don't know. I've never. Blood is a soupy consistency. If you served it, you'd say, oh, this is some sort of soup or some sort of thick consomme. I have thick consomme running through my veins. It's a tartare. It's like a thick tartare consomme. You call it blood. And it's probably thicker than I think it is. I don't know. I don't know what soup to compare it. Not as probably thick as like split pea or one of those. But Mr. Spock has what it looks like split pea soup running through his veins because he's not from here. He's from Progresso or something. But there's all types of people, and all of them have different body parts that could turn up at a festive meal of some alien or monster or something like that. You don't know. I don't want to be there. Gosh, we do that to scare children and go, you don't want to end up as a giant's meal. They grind your bones to make a sort of flour to make bread. I was told that. Giants, so grind your bones. Usually they're using mostly Englishmen, but nowadays they can't get as many Englishmen, so they'll grind anybody's bones to make their bread. And that could be you. Oh, Mama, please. Really? Yes. So go to sleep, because if you don't go to sleep, you'll be eaten by creatures. By your own fears will consume you. Really? Mm-hmm. I don't know that my mother did anything like that to me. She told me, I like to be scared by little stories and everything. And I guess I had some unnatural fears, but like a lot of children, I generally like to be terrified and like to stay that way. And I still do a little bit. I like to be... I think I wouldn't be scared if I didn't at the end of it really like to be or want to be used to being terrified. Maybe it's a knowing sort of thing. I have seen the room outside of the dinner table.
I got a peek. And it's an ocean in a castle. And it's a dark, terrifying place. Oh, it's a place of great loneliness. And should we find one another at a table like this? Remind everyone at that table how lucky they are. It is remarkable to share anything like this together, to be alive at the same time. Oh, the possibilities we can have together sitting here. I turn to my left. My friend says, "Are you enjoying the soup?" I say, "I am. I thought it was my own blood." We laugh together for a while. No, it is the humble tomat. Oh, I've grown tomatoes. Have you grown tomatoes? And we speak for a while about the gardens of ourselves and the gardens of our ancestors. And we love those things, we say. We grow herbs as well. What herbs do you grow? And we recite the words of a 60s folk song. Chives. How's it go? Chives. Lavage. What's the other one? It's like celery. I'll think of it. Also parsley, though. I see, I'm being flippant. But that's in there. And I know lavender's not in the song. And I put lavender in food, accidentally thinking it was rosemary.
Lift your wine glasses now, empty as they may be, and prepare to take the first symbolic drink. The first symbolic drink, we drink each other's needs. Gulp them down, blah, 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 blah. Later, I'm going to go to a private room and pee away your needs. That's how we get rid of them. I'm going to fulfill my own with this second symbolic cup. Take the symbolic wine, fill the symbolic cup. Hold it high. I pronounce this cup my cup. I pronounce this cup my cup. All who sit at this table are my friend. As of right now, some of you may leave and do something reprehensible. I'm going to have to disavow our friendship. But right now we are friends. May this memory be with us always as we drink this fake glass of wine. Drink the fake glass of wine. Put it down. Both hands in the air now as we recite the pledge of the allegiance we have. Not to one another all the time, but at least to ourselves. And say, I pledge this at least some sort of allegiance to my own self. That I say, I am a worthy human being. I will not be denigrated. I will hold myself up with dignity. I deserve to be alive, please. I can be a friend and helper. I can be a neighbor. I only require one thing, recognize that I am a living creature who feels and needs and desires a seat at this table. The table being the recognition that we need food and sustenance. And one of those things that is our sustenance is the love and compassion of one another. Turn to your neighbor and nod awkwardly. Turn to the other neighbor, left. If you started on the left, turn to the neighbor on the right. If you started on the right, turn to the neighbor on their right. Bow awkwardly. Touch your. If you have glasses, touch them like you're giving a code signal. Spy. I'm a spy too. Like that. Now go back to the food. Now we're going to take up. I'm going to show you what all the different. So we're at this meal. I love being here with you. I wanted to show you what all the different symbols of the tools mean. So this is a very interesting one to me. It's the slotted spoon. And the reason this is slotted spoon is interesting to me is because a spoon is meant to spoon up liquids. It's concave. It's a little like a cup with a stick on the end. And we ladle up the liquids. Now, a slotted spoon has holes in it which defeat the purpose, making it a beautiful Dada surrealistic object. It's a spoon that doesn't work, that defeats itself. And you say, well, it has a purpose. It gets up things that, like, you don't have to get the vinegar, but you get the onions and pepper. A fork will do that. Think about it for 2 seconds. This is odd beyond belief. It is a spoon that has been purposely
disabled and damaged and sabotaged. It's the sabotaged spoon. We call it the slaughtered spoon or the serving spoon. Nonsense. It's a symbolic object. It's a symbolic object. It's had its one purpose taken away from it. And they're pretending that it's doing something for which another item already exists. So when you pick up that slotted spoon at this dinner, know that there is absurdity at the basis of all that we do. This next thing, and you've seen them at all your parties you've been at, and every dinner is, and it's called a knife. But if you've ever been hunting or actually had to cut something, you know that this is not a knife. It's not a knife. It's not an actual knife. It's almost like it's if it's like a it's the Tai Chi sword of knives. It has no edge at all. It's like a practice knife. It has no tip. It's a completely blunt, edgeless interpretation of a knife. It's like an impression of a knife. It's like a good knife-ish. No, not. I don't even think so. It's more like a. Like a kind of palette-y thing that you put on paints with if you're one of those painters that goops it right out of the tube like that. That's what it's more like. It's not a knife at all. So I don't know why we call it that. Fork does what it says it will. And I do what I say I will. And that is invite you into this place. Invite you into this time, I should say, to be together, to have a meal together, to have this meal, the timeless meal, the meal outside of time, where we practice our absolute love, where we practice our imperfect skill in a place that's perfect. Because it's not real. It can be anything. We can do anything we want here. Imagine anything we want. And therefore, all the things that seem impossible, like beautiful, perfect love for one another, perfect compassion, understanding of one another, sitting together, understanding of all that perfection that cannot really exist, gets to exist here in this wonderful space, this crazy space, this table, this time table. Do you understand? It defies all reason. It is beyond being contradicted because it contains all those universes and possibilities. They're all in there. It is a place without contradictions. So all the impossible love that you think cannot happen, all the cynical limitations to human connections, they're all gone here, and we are at a beautiful dinner party where we all love one another, and we all recognize each other's needs, and we're all glad to be in this moment, and we give true thanks that we can be together and alive at the same time, helping one another out. We feel, for once, safe. We feel now relaxed in one another's arms as we dine together at this timeless meal. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and online, worldwide, WFMU.org. What did I not say? New York City, 91. Something like that. Oh, my friends, I'm Harney White, and I'm glad you're here, and I will see you again next week.
Break this mess up. My faith.